Are you all ready for Christmas? Bought all your gifts? Got your menu ready for Christmas Day, Christmas Eve? Decorated the house? Got the tree up? Everybody all ready? Well, of course, these preparations are part of the season, part of making this a very special time. But of course, that's not the main thing. The main thing is what we hear about in today's gospel. The one who best prepared for the first Christmas, namely Mary. So I'd like to go into a little analysis of this gospel. We call this gospel the Annunciation. The angel comes to announce to Mary that she is to be the mother of the Messiah, the Christ. And there's a number of details which have significance for us. Beginning with the place where this took place, where this occurred. Nazareth, in the area of Galilee. Now, that's in northern Israel. The center of power was in the south, where Jerusalem is, the area called Judea. That's where the high priests lived. That's where the Pharisees had their center. And up north in Galilee was really only famous for one thing, its powerlessness. It had no power, no influence. And in fact, the people up there in Galilee were really considered kind of like losers from the point of view of the people in the south. And they were also, many of them, considered to be impure because non-Jews traveled through the north of Israel in caravans on their way toward the east or from the east going, you know, west. So the people in the south really looked at the Galileans as kind of somewhat inferior Jews. Mary was a Galilean. And she is going to be married to a man named Joseph. Now, it's interesting to ask, how old was she when this occurred? Ordinarily, according to marriage customs of the time, a young woman was engaged when she was around, say, 12 or 13, and then maybe a year or so later, she would actually move in with her husband. But they were considered legally married from the time of the engagement, which is why in Matthew's gospel, when Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant, he, of course, is devastated because he knows he's not the father. And so he decides to divorce her. He has to divorce her if he wants to be out of the relationship. So he's going to divorce her quietly. But then, of course, an angel appears to Joseph and lets him know how this pregnancy occurred. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit. So Mary is perhaps 13 years old when the Annunciation occurs. And the very first words of the angel tell us the critical detail about Mary. Hail, full of grace. Now the original Greek would be more like rejoice, O highly favored daughter. Rejoice, O highly favored daughter. But the simpler translation is hail, full of grace. So if she's full of grace, it means she's filled with the divine presence. She's already in harmony with God. That's what grace does. It puts us in a state of harmony with God. But she's very troubled by this message, by this greeting of the angel Gabriel. And the angel, of course, says, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. She is pleasing to God. She is utterly acceptable and beloved by God. And then he goes on to say what kind of a child this is going to be. He says, you will name him Jesus. Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua. Yeshua means literally Yahweh saves. God saves. So this child is going to be Savior. And save people from what? Save people from whatever disconnects them from God, whatever disconnects them from other people, whatever disconnects them from their truest and best self, from the self that God wants them to become. And of course, what is it that disconnects us? Sin. You examine any sin that we commit, whether the big ones or even the little ones, like little lies, you know, kind of cheating, perhaps stealing something minor. All of this disconnects us from God, from others, and from our best self. And if our conscience is working, it bothers us when we commit these sins. Jesus comes to save us from all sin. This is really a wonderful news because insofar as we remain under the power of these sins, then our relationships are troubled. We are troubled. Our heart, our conscience is troubled. And we can't really hear God speaking to us clearly. So Jesus comes to save us. And this is not just at the end of our earthly lives when we hope that we'll be brought to heaven, the ultimate salvation. It's right here and now with the little things that disconnect us from God, from each other, and from ourselves. For example, a young man came to see me recently, and he had had some serious fights and tensions with family members. And he was really outraged, feeling that he had been really wrongfully accused of things and judged and made the scapegoat in the family. So he went on for quite a long time telling me about all of this tension in the family. And I've learned the hard way not to preach to people when they're angry. You know what it's like trying to tell somebody, you know, how they ought to improve their life when they are just boiling mad. They're not interested. They're not going to listen to you. So I try to keep my mouth shut when people are talking to me like that, and I just listen. And then maybe ask a few little questions, give a little bit of feedback. So that's what I did with him. And at the end of our conversation, I did not say what people often say, you know, you've got to learn to forgive. That's useless to tell people to forgive when all they can feel is their anger or hurt. And usually the anger does come from hurt. So I said, I can understand why you're so upset and why you feel you can't forgive. You know, you really have been, it sounds like you've been very poorly treated. But let me just leave you with one thought. Just remain open to the possibility that God's love is infinitely greater than your hurt and your anger. And that the power of God is always available to lead us to healing, to reconciliation. And he kind of, you know, nodded and just kind of grunted and wasn't particularly interested in hearing the message, but that was that. So he goes off, and then the next day I get a text, because he knew that I was going to be meeting with some of his family members, and the text said, "Don't be too hard on them." So it showed me that his heart had begun to soften. And see, that's what the Savior does. When we hear the message about the Savior, the heart begins to open and become more available to reconciliation, to healing. And this is what Jesus came to offer all human beings. He came to bring the whole world together. That's really what Christianity is meant to be about, to bring the whole world together, all kinds of peoples together. That's why the Catholic Church is called Catholic. It has to be Catholic, universal, that everybody is invited into this family of Jesus Christ. Now, this doesn't mean that everybody's going to become a Catholic, but it does mean that Catholics have a special role to play in the history of the world. And one of the special roles for Catholics to play is through our word, through our testimony, through our example, people come to understand that God is for them, no matter who they are. God is for them. God is for us. God is on our side. Jesus came for everyone. And as we see him on the cross, his arms are always outstretched, waiting to embrace anyone who wants to come to him. And we need to proclaim that beautiful truth to the world, that come to him. Give him a try. Just try him out, so to speak. Sometimes I'll tell agnostics or atheists, I'll say, just act as if he did exist. Just talk to him as if he did live. And it's amazing how many people have told me that they didn't believe, but they took my challenge and they began to say the words of prayer, even though they didn't believe in Jesus, didn't believe in God. And saying those words and beginning to read some of the scriptures, something happened. They connected to this magnificent message that God is here for you. He's available. He is Savior. He is healer. So this is really what Christianity is about. This is what we're celebrating at Christmas.